This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The debate last night, as you know if you watched or listened, wasn't so much a gripping back and forth as it was a long series of recitations of policy positions. One of the longest was about Medicare, the government health insurance program mainly for seniors. It gets bigger and more expensive every year. Both the president and Mr. Romney have talked about the need to reform it, that $716 billion you might remember hearing about last night. But for years, actually doing something about Medicare has been almost politically untouchable. Marketplace's David Gura has that story.
You don't want to get near the third rail of a subway train. The thing pulses with 750 volts of electricity, well above the lethal threshold. Some efforts to change Medicare in the past have given politicians a third rail jolt. But it turns out other changes have been met with relatively few sparks. It all depends on the kind of change and whom it targets. First, a little history.
The Harry S. Truman Library at Independence, Missouri, is the scene of an historic event.
Medicare became law in 1965. At the time, more than half of seniors had little or no access to health care, and private insurers considered them too risky to cover.
The new bill expands the 30-year-old Social Security program to provide hospital care and outpatient treatment for those over 65.
Medicare was a compromise. Democrats were able to extend the social safety net to a vulnerable population, and Republicans were satisfied Medicare wouldn't lead to socialized medicine, something doctors feared. Members of the American Medical Association had talked about boycotting the program. So the architects of Medicare gave them a pretty sweet deal. Physicians and hospitals would provide care, then they'd bill the government directly.
This was basically open season for providers.
David Kendall is a health policy expert at a think tank called Third Way.
And now they, whatever they charged the government was what they were getting paid. They loved it.
The modern healthcare industry was born, and so too were its spiraling costs. David Rosner teaches history at Columbia.
A hospital day, which in 1962 probably was around $23, by 1973 it was over $100 and growing. It seemed like an enormous increase in cost.
Soon politicians started talking about the Medicare cost crisis. President Reagan worked with Democrats in Congress to change how hospitals got paid. Instead of a blank check that reimbursed them retroactively, they got payments up front. John Oberlander is a public health professor at UNC Chapel Hill.
In the early 1980s, Medicare says to hospitals, we're going to pay you according to a patient's diagnosis, and you're going to get a fixed payment no matter how long you keep your patient in the hospital.
A few years later, another law established a similar fee structure for doctors. These changes may have been a shock to physicians and hospitals, but there was no third rail outcry from the public. But then the focus of changes to Medicare shifted from providers to beneficiaries.
Last November, you put Republicans in control of Congress for the first time in 40 years.
In 1994, Republicans seized control of the House and Senate from Democrats.
And the message you gave us was to make government smaller and more efficient.
Senate Majority Leader Bob Dole and Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich led what they called a revolution against big government. In 1995, Congress passed a budget that, among other things, drastically scaled back Washington's role in Medicare. UNC's John Oberlander says that rather than pay for doctor's visits and hospital stays, the government would have given seniors a subsidy to buy private health insurance.
Gingrich at the time had famously said that Medicare would, quote, wither on the vine.
Instead, the third rail crackled to life with the energy of angry voters. A Gallup poll at the time found 60% of respondents wanted President Clinton to veto the budget bill.
Three decades ago, this pen you see here was used to honor our values when President Johnson used it to sign Medicare into law. Today, I am vetoing the biggest Medicare and Medicaid cuts in history.
A later poll found 54% rated Medicare a high priority in the 1996 presidential election, which Clinton went on to win. Today, there's another debate over changes to Medicare. The program currently spends more than $500 billion, and the pool of beneficiaries is expected to almost double by 2030. But it remains deeply popular to people like Sybil Ricketson of Ringgold, Louisiana.
Well, Medicare means that I'm still alive. I have had a lot of health problems. And if it weren't for Medicare, I wouldn't be here.
Both President Obama and Governor Romney say something needs to be done to rein in the program's rising costs. But the question is, can either of them push through a plan that won't get zapped by that proverbial third rail. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.